This morning was in 1 John, where 1 John and the beloved disciple John spoke more about love perhaps than any of the writers, because he loved Christ so much. And the more love we have for Christ, the more you want to talk about it. So God gave him the desires of his heart, and he just told us all about love. We couldn't explain it. It would take a lifetime for 1,000 people to try to explain the love of God. They wouldn't get past page one. But we learned more about it, and we saw this morning about the amazing love of God. How that love of God was so rich and so pure, it could find us where we were, and the grace of God that overshadows us, brought us to him, and gave us the ability to love God, because he always loved us, he gave his son for us. But then that love can grow and improve dependent upon how we love him. He said it could be perfected. It could be fulfilled. We saw how the longings of our heart are fulfilled when we truly worship God and put ourselves in his will, and then let the mercy of God overshadow us. We even saw this morning that that perfect love of God will block fear. Every one of us worry sometimes, and some of us worry more than others all the time. But the perfect love of God, the Bible says, cast out fear, can't get in there. The thought may come, but it won't get any farther than the mind. It can't get to the soul. And then we saw that this amazing love of God even increases us so much that we can love the unlovable. Those people that you know that you just couldn't love them. Well, if we get really right with God, we can love the unlovable. God loved us when we were that way in sin. And now in Jeremiah, he's going to talk about, see, that people of Israel were pretty much like America, I think, at one stage in their life. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 6, they had false gods. And the Bible says that they had drifted so far from God. But the mercy of God and the grace of God gave them another opportunity, just like it does America, just like it does you and me. Because if you look at America, it's getting worse all the time. If you look at Israel, idolatry, other gods, denying God, and it's really bad in Jeremiah chapter 6. It's almost unbelievable they would go this far. But then I'm afraid America has gone even farther. Let's read the text together. We're going to look at the fulfilling love of God. That perfecting he's talking about is fulfilling. It satisfies the longings of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Talking about Israel. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Surely they were his people. If you don't read any farther right now, you say, Israel was God's people? Yes. Then when they committed abominations, and they worshiped other gods, surely they'd be ashamed. But see, God searches the heart. And God says, nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The Lord has given them another opportunity. He realized that they had gone so far, and it's possible that even saved people can go so far that they get so well out of the will of God. God keeps reminding me of this illustration. See, I've got hearing aids, and I don't wear the left one in here because I have glasses, and I have the microphone over my ear, and God did not design the ear for three things, so that hearing aid falls out. So I leave it in my desk. But you know what? They must be programmed, because if they're that far apart, they must be programmed that they like it. They talk to each other. You push one button and the left one responds. But then there's something else about them. As you start getting away from it, it starts, the right one goes beep, beep, beep. It's telling me the one that's supposed to help you is getting out of sight. And if I keep going, the beeping stops, and I'm so far away it doesn't respond. That's a top illustration. We're saved, we're going to heaven if you're saved. but you can get so far away from God. And that longing, like the right one wants to hear from the left one, was too far away. You can go so far away from God, and we want to find out that God just gives you up. Doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. It just means the communication, the fellowship, the perfect fulfilling of the desires of our heart, the needs that we have. God has a purpose for us, and we need to let him fulfill that purpose in our heart. So we see Israel had gone so far when they were reminded of it, even though they were his people, and they were, and they knew their friends knew about it, they wasn't even ashamed about it. They knew God knew about it. It didn't bother them. They didn't even blush when the subject came out. And it's so tragic. But yet, in spite of all that, look what God does. See, they're traveling a pathway of sin, and that's what a lot of people do. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about lost people. They're traveling, and they're getting farther and farther away from God. Not everybody, but America is. Religion is in America. You know it as well as I do. And this corresponds to the message this morning about the amazing grace and the amazing love of God. He wants to have that fellowship back. Look what he offers in verse 16. But first of all, we have to take an inventory and we have to give an account of where we stand. A lot of times, you know, we think, you know, we're okay. Many times in my Christian life, I felt that way, but then I'm reminded, David said, "Search me, O God, and try my ways." Not that he doesn't always do that. He knows my heart. But David said, "Search me and try my ways and let me know what you find." Because David didn't know his heart. You don't know yours. I do not know mine. No man knoweth his heart. We think we do, but we do not. So David now had asked God, and many times when I get really close to him, as I try to, but many times I'm not as close as I have been, should be, then I say, "God, search my heart." But I know in my mind he's going to be pleased this time because it's all gone. I bet you not one time out of 10 when I ask him, but what he comes back and shows me something I did not even know. You just tell us about it. I'm not going to do it. It's a personal thing between me and God. But it's something that creeps in. It could be envy, pride. A lot of us eat up with pride, you know. Pats on the back we desire, and prestige and all that stuff. God hates that. That's an abomination to him. God hates pride. On and on. But yet, in spite of all that, in spite of all we are that we oughtn't to be, yet he gives them another opportunity. But first of all, we have to ask him to help us take an inventory and account of where we stand with him. Look at verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord." He's speaking to us tonight. He wants us to take an inventory of our life. Look what he says. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." He's offering them another opportunity. We're so busy. We're going and we read the Bible and we pray and we do some of the things we ought to. But James says, if you know to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. None of us can say, "I haven't sinned," because we don't do all we know to do. And on, but he is saying, stop. Just get away from yourself. That's the reason I go to bed late, because the phone's not ringing. Nothing's going on. And I can read and stay about 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And it's just me and the Lord. No interruptions whatsoever. And we need to stop. Stop in the way. Stop in the way we're going. And then see, listen, and let him search our heart. And let him show us the scripture that we need to read and partake of. And then when he speaks to us, we must listen. And ask for the old paths. The former things. I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, I love air conditioning and I love to build fires. I love in the wintertime. I know I'm crazy, But I love, absolutely love to go out and get wood. My dad taught me that I get wood in the coldest of weather. It's really easy when a block of wood's almost frozen. I just love that. But I got so I didn't have time for it. And Sandra said I was getting too old to do it. So I converted away from wood, and we have gas now, just a flick of a switch. But sometimes, along the old path, not necessarily for the work that goes in or the hot days with the air conditioning, I'm talking about the love of God. Back in the old days, the old past, some of you old-timers remember that, it wasn't TV. Anybody in here remember when you didn't have a TV besides me? All these old-timers. I didn't have electricity in my house till I was in second grade. I wasn't old enough to get off the ark with Noah. But I'm telling you, the old-time ways, we had time for each other. My grandfather, on my father's side, every night, he carried a Sam Baxter songbook in his back pocket almost all the time. Was out in the cornfields, and we'd stop to rest, to drink water, and to get in the shade and rest. He'd pull out that Sam Baxter, and he'd start singing. Sam Baxter, gospel music book like we have. And he'd sing those songs, and every night, we'd eat supper at 4:30 in the evening, because when dark came, we was in the bed when the chickens were stopped up in the coop. And Grandpa would sit on the porch and sing for an hour or two at a time, and every Sunday morning, Charlie Henderson's dad and my grandfather and two other men would get to church 1.5 hours, 2 hours early after they walked 2 miles. And they'd stand out under a hickory tree and sing gospel music. That's before church. The old path. For worshiping God and talking about the things of God was more important. But we have our modern conveniences. Nothing wrong with them. I love them. That and everything else has turned us away. We don't have time. We don't take time anymore for the old path. Check it on their neighbor, and just seeing how we stand with God. Used to, I didn't mean to go this way, but I'm going this way. My job, my brother's job, was to go get the cows, and you never knew where they were. They had bells on if they'd shake their head, but they'd learn, I reckon. They'd want to come to the barn. It's up and down the hills. So about milking time, rather than coming to the barn, they'd just stay still. I'd go to back 40 and the front 40, spend an hour looking for the cows. It wasn't wasted time, because as I was going on those hillsides as a 12-year-old boy, and after I got saved, just stopping and talking to God. I had time for that, you see. Didn't have anything else to do except get the cows, milk the cows, and then go out and play corn cob baseball with my brother, maybe. But we had time. I'm talking about the old past, where the Bible was the inspired word of God and it was a standard in their lives. Nothing else really mattered except what God said. We were taught that. We believe that. We live by that. That's what he is asking Israel to do. That's what he's asking you. And the way you're going, stop, stand still. Let him take an inventory of your life. What's important? What you spend time on? And see, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and he promises, and there you shall find rest for your souls. Boy, we need that. We're so busy and so encumbered with all these things, like Martha was, serving, and it's important to serve, but I'm afraid we, like Martha, have let other things hinder us from just the old-time way of worshiping the Lord, spending more time in the Word of God. Now, you would think that it was reminded that they would do that, and he promises. Listen to what the promise is. Rest, peace, get rid of all your worries, get rid of the enemy. Just me and you, and I'll take care of you. I overshadow you, and all you have to do is walk the way I want you to go. And there's a pathway they were going. Many times they were going wrong, and it was at a crossroads. It was at an intersection in their life. Many times they'd have to say, ooh, I'm going the wrong way, away from God. And I'll get back to the old path, the Word of God, the prophecy. and the songs of Zion. Thank God we come to church that sings songs that makes melody in your heart and lifts up the name of Jesus. That's so important. The old time way, we're going to stay with it. The old time way, we're finding rest for our soul that way. Look what he says. And they said, we will not walk therein. Can you imagine a people that would say to God when he had spoken to them, another opportunity, I'll give you rest from all your worries, all your fears, all your enemy. I'll take care of all your needs. All you have to do is stop, stand still, let me search your heart, and if anything's wrong in there, I'll forgive it, and you turn and go my way, the old time way. The pathway that leads home, and they said, we will not walk therein. Well, let's not be too critical of them if we can't examine ourselves and our nation and individually ourselves. Are we saying to God, I won't take time to stop and do an inventory of my life unless you redirect the things of my life that's not pleasing to you? Would we be willing to do that? It sure would be worth it, because we too could find rest for our souls and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We can have it. It's in his promise. Look at what else. A time to make a right turn is what we need to do, because no doubt our lives are not perfect, of course. And every one of us could make improvements. I'm not a critical preacher. I just preach what thus saith the word of God. But look next at verse 17. God has a testimony against them. Look carefully at what he says in verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you. It means that he is going to put a watch over you, overshadow you. He sent prophets to proclaim what God wanted them to do. And they had priests. They knew what they were supposed to do. And God today, the Holy Spirit, overshadows us. He says, watches for us. And the word in the Hebrew means a limit. Like there's a standard. There's a certain limit that God puts out there, an invisible limit for us. But after you pass that limit, then God will say, no more opportunities for you to regain fellowship. I know God forgives. I'm telling you, God's got limits. I set a watchman over you. And of course, the prophets proclaim that's what saith the word of God. That's what Jeremiah was, a prophet proclaiming what God was telling them, and they said, we don't want to hear it. We will not do what God told us to do. Don't care about the rest. We like the worldly adventure. We like the things of the world. We like the pleasures of the world more than we like the peace and the satisfaction of following God. But listen what they had to do. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. All they had to do was follow the leadership of the word of God when it was proclaimed. The prophets were ordained of God to go and tell the people, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and the other prophets, thus is what God said. And so many times they would rebuke Isaiah and Jeremiah and say, first of all, they say, we don't believe God told you to say that. Well, there's a lot of people you'll meet that don't believe this is inspired in their infallible word of God. I've had people tell me, if only I could believe all of it. That means they're smart enough to spot the spark that they think's not inspired. Can't fool with that crowd, nor do I, nor will God do that. If you can't believe God's word is inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God, every word of it, then you and I aren't smart enough to figure out what is. It is all inspired. People question the authority of God's word because they don't want to follow it. They don't want to do it in their heart. So he says, all you have to do is hearken to the trumpet. Just when the watchman has told you you're going wrong, and now you know the error of your ways, but I'm giving you another opportunity to repent, because if you'll turn from your wicked ways and come back to me, I'll give you rest for your soul. They proclaim, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken to the word of God. And many people, you know, watching the preacher that proclaims the word of God, they don't want to hear it. If I have to do that, if I have to wholly commit my life to him, that's what Paul says. We come boldly to the throne of grace and we submit ourselves to him. He said, that's your reasonable service, just to submit ourselves to God. A God that loved us enough to send his son to die for us, to save us, to cleanse us from our sin, and get us to heaven, and give us that marvelous love that will help us get rid of the fear factor and the worry factor, and to love the unlovable and take care of us. What? Who wouldn't want everything God said in their lives? So I do, because I need that peace. But they said, we will not hearken. First of all, we will not walk therein. Whatever God says, we won't do it. Hearken to the trumpet. When I say you're out of line, you're going the wrong way, and the trumpet sounds, and the prophets proclaim, God says you're wrong, and they said, we will not hearken. See what God's going to do about that. Last thing I'll look at in that is turning away from God has consequences. People can say all they want to, I won't walk therein. People can say all they want to, I will not hearken to what God wants me to do. But God has a recourse, and there are consequences. Look what he says in the next verse. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. God has given America opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. I like to study and read sometimes if I have time about our pilgrims coming over here and how God prospered them because they were getting away from religious persecution. And God opened up America because he knew you'd be here. He knew I'd be here. And he knew that many people would hurl a trumpet and say, God said this, and teach them the way of salvation. God knew that. He made America strong. Now, I like to look at the miracles that God did for our armies back when they were fighting the British to gain their freedom. World War I and World War II, and how God did miracles many times to give us freedom. It wasn't just America's supersonic power. It was God, the author, giving us the freedom we have. How many times has he blessed and blessed and blessed? And then America says, okay, we'll turn to God now because we know we need him, and then turn our backs on God again. Well, God has a recourse. Let's see what he's going to do. Verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. God gives us an opportunity. Who in their right mind would not want to stop, stand still? We know the old way was right because the word of God is the old way. And look to the old way and walk there. Who would not want to do that? Just to please God. I'm not perfect. I have million faults and don't have time to tell you about them. But one thing God gave me the ability to do, and that's respect my parents. I read the scripture one day that, you know, love, respect your parents and your father, your mother, and live long upon the earth. That wasn't why I did it. The love of God permeated my heart, so I just couldn't do anything in my heart to displease mom and dad. I wasn't perfect. And yeah, I did a lot of things they never found out about, but if I knew they was going to find out about it, I wouldn't do it. I didn't want to displease mom and dad. I guess at the time I didn't realize, hey, God knows about it. I mean, I wasn't all that bad, but if I'm not obeying mom and dad in everything, that's disobedience, right? Same thing with God. He told us what to do, and do we think he doesn't know? He's already said, I set a watchman over you, and this watchman knows. He knows your thoughts. Even he knows what I'm thinking now. He knows what I'm thinking tomorrow. God knows my thought. I can't tell you. I've written it down somewhere. But most of them I'll remember. I could talk 30 minutes about the times I was thinking a particular thing when God interrupted my thoughts and said, that's not the way you're going to do it. Then I thought, he knows my thoughts. He knows what I'm thinking. And I've got it all planned out in my head. He said, uh-uh. And I hadn't said a word. God knows your thoughts too. And he said, I'll take charge. And since you won't let me, allow me to do you good because you won't obey my voice, I will bring evil. I'm afraid that's what America is in the middle of. We have people all the time, no doubt, question, where's God? Why did God do this? Well, we see what God's going to do. Hear, O earth, that's every inhabitant of the earth. I will bring evil upon this people. Any people that will not bow their knees, confess their faults, and honor me and honor my word, and go their own way and have the nerve to say, I will not walk therein because you said so. I will not hearken to your voice. I will not. And expect God's going to bless us. I will bring evil upon these people. Even the fruit of their thoughts, even think. It amazes me how unreasonable people are. You know, I love America. We love America. I love the great America that God gave us. So wonderful that God gave us this great country. But some of the things people have done to ruin it for our children and grandchildren. But then I realize some of the evil he brings, even the fruit of their thoughts, God changes their thinking. They can't be reasonable in their thoughts because he has brought evil upon them. Because he knows their thoughts, and he makes them do things to hurt America. That's his way. I never have. And as long as I have a sane mind, I don't think I ever will question God. It's okay to, like Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That's as far as it went. He never said, God, you've done wrong. We can ask God, why did you do that? That's okay. But for me to even think he didn't treat me right, or me to even think he hasn't done right, it's not my vocabulary. It can't enter my mind. The thought won't process. I don't want to process. God's done right. He's perfect. I'm not. You're not. But the God I'm serving knows my thoughts. And if we are not willing to walk in the steps that he bids us to go, he has consequences he can bring our way. It just pays to love God and to serve him. What an opportunity it is to open the pages of God's word and reiterate in my mind the amazing grace of God, the amazing love of God, and even the fact that that love can be in my heart and is, and that love is so strong, it causes me to act like him. As he is in this world, so are we. Even act, that's why they were called Christians, because those are just little Christ. They're just trying to act like Christ. Yeah, praise the Lord. You and I should also. I don't want to go any farther, but we thank God for his precious word. Thank God for America. Let's pray for a nation. God has limits. God set watchmen. He has limits for his people. He has limits for any nation. And let's pray that America will never in our lifetime turn against Israel, because the day we do, God's grace and God's love's gone from America. Because God loves his nation Israel, and if there's any tending to him or bringing evil upon him, it's his job to do it, not ours. And I bless Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We'll prosper when we do that. Would you stand, your heads bowed? Thank God for his fulfillment of love in their hearts.